The reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.
As we come towards the end of our series in Philippians, we can remind ourselves that it's entitled Unchained, not because Paul is free, but precisely the opposite. He's in prison, and he may even be in chains. Yet he is still able to serve the church in Philippi through this letter. He's still able to pursue that call heavenward for which God called him in Christ Jesus. He's still able to soar in his spirit. And he knows and loves this church. And so it almost makes me smile the way in which he then addresses a particular issue that is a problem in that church. There would have been two ladies in that congregation, Euodia and Syntyche, and they're listening to this letter from the Apostle Paul being read to the entire church, and suddenly they are named. And he says, I plead with you, sisters, Euodia and Syntyche, I plead with you. Be in agreement with each other. They must have been mortified. Even if the whole church knew about the issue, suddenly it's out there in front of everyone. Euodia and Syntyche are divided. And Paul says, don't be divided, but in the Lord, be reconciled, agree with one another. Now, why does he do that? I think for a number of reasons. One, because as he writes elsewhere to the church at Corinth, if one part of the body is hurting, the whole body is damaged. And so this disagreement is having a fundamental effect on the unity and the purpose, the gospel cause of the church, because two of its key leaders are in disagreement with each other. Secondly, I think it's important because he says what unites you is so much more important than what seems to be dividing you. And we don't know what was dividing them because Paul isn't getting into that argument. He's not taking sides. He's not weighing up the pros and cons, the rights and wrongs. He's saying, I don't really care about the disagreement. I care about reconciliation. I care about unity. I care about the cause of Christ, and so should you. And even more than that, he then starts naming people. We don't know if yoke fellow is actually Syzygus, as in the Greek, a personal name, or if it's somebody who would recognize being identified in that manner. But also Clement and other fellow workers, get involved. Help these two ladies to come together. This is important for the sake of the church. Well, I wonder how we would react if that happened on a Sunday at BPC, if Will stood up and said, what about you two people with your disagreement? Church, let's get together around them and help them to reconcile in the cause of Christ. Well, I don't know where you are today, literally, and I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know whether you are in the middle of a disagreement with anyone. But I'd like to pray that we would allow the Holy Spirit to search us and to help us to deal with such conflicts. Let's pray together that we might be united in the cause of Christ. Father, we thank you that Jesus died to make us one. We thank you that each of us has an important place in the body of Christ. And I ask you now, Holy Spirit of God, would you come upon us, me and everyone else listening to this message, and help us to know if there is anything in our hearts or lives that is causing disagreement or disunity in the body. Help us that we might be reconciled one to another and that our unity may speak of the presence and the power and the blessing of God in our midst. Come and help us to be willing to humble ourselves one to another and to come together in reconciliation and love for the sake of the gospel. And if we know of any, Lord, who are divided, help us through our prayer and through our care to help them to reconcile together. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Paul then moves on to a familiar theme. Back in 3 verse 1, he said, "Rejoice. It's no hardship for me to write this to you again." And here he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." Now, why does he say it again? Firstly, because it's a safeguard for them. Rejoicing is good. It's good for our souls. And secondly, because it's actually a choice for us. Now, happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is not happiness. But joy is based on a positional truth. It's based on who we are in Jesus Christ and what God has given to us in Christ. So we can always choose to rejoice. Paul could rejoice from prison. It's true to say that we have so much in Jesus. Even in the midst of lockdown, we have so much. We have one another. We have our health. We have our families, we have our homes, and if we don't have those things, we still have the fact that we are one in Jesus Christ. We are still part of his body, the church. We still have the prayer cover of our brothers and sisters. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what God has given you, and focus on the fact that even in the midst of your troubles, as David writes in the 23rd Psalm, God is with us. He is there. He is our strength and our stay, our comfort, our ever-present help in times of trouble. God is with us. We have much to rejoice in. And real joy is found in living above our circumstances. It's not the absence of problems. Wish that it was. But it's actually even more important. It is the presence of God. Not the absence of problems, but the presence of God. That is what joy is. It's a settled determination, a way of life grounded in a deeper reality. So we can and we should rejoice. And then he goes on to say, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." That's quite interesting because it does follow because the Holy Spirit is at work in his people. And gentleness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of a life impacted by the Spirit of God. And it's not gentleness as in meek and mild. It's gentleness as in the old English, to gentle a horse, to break a horse so that the horse's power and strength can be applied in a productive way. In the same way for us as Christians, if we are to be gentled by the Holy Spirit, then the power and the strength that we have in Christ is brought under control that we might serve God in a Christ-honoring way. It's not about being weak, it's about strength under control. And our lives should be marked as being those people who are self-controlled but have great power in Christ to do amazing things. Then we come to a very important passage that is often quoted by so many people. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I wonder, do you worry? Are you anxious? Are you fearful about anything at the moment? It almost seems a silly thing to ask in the middle of a pandemic of COVID-19. Are you anxious? Some people simply say, "Well, I'm a worrier. I come from a long line of worriers. We're all worriers. I am anxious." Well, anxiety, as opposed to fear, is something that is a sort of a general unease. It's unfocused. And it is often based on speculation and conjecture, the what-ifs of life, rather than truth. Now, we can have a tendency to be anxious. We can have a tendency to worry. And there are some things, particularly things we value and that are important to us, that it's worth worrying about. I mean, I remember when I took my first driving test, I was not at all anxious. You see, I'd had a lesson just before and my instructor had said to me, "Look, if you're going to drive like this, you have no hope. You're just totally unprepared. It's a waste of time and money to even bother taking the test." Maybe he thought he was some kind of expert psychologist, but I walked into that test thinking, I'm going to fail. I'll go through the experience, but I'm going to fail. And I did. I wasn't keyed up. I wasn't nervous. I was relaxed. I wasn't really focused. And to be honest, I could have had an accident on my driving test. It was not that good. And the second time I went round, he'd said to me, you really shouldn't have failed the first time. You really should have passed the first time. You're a good enough driver to have passed the first time. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that? If you'd have told me that, I'd have gone in there actually with something to lose, if you like. The second time I was as nervous, perhaps more nervous than anybody else in the waiting room. And it was a very anxious time for me, but I passed. And maybe if you've been taking exams or you've got exams coming up, you know, maybe you're anxious because these are important to you. That's fine. We all get anxious about something that comes and goes. But we're talking here about that general level of anxiety or worry that actually is more of a dis-ease of the body. And it's true to say that anxiety actually is a burden that we carry that makes the heart sick. It impacts on the whole of life. And Jesus in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 6 spends quite a bit of time saying, do not worry. Don't worry about what you eat, what you wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough concerns of its own. Focus on the immediate and get that sorted. Don't spend all of your time living your life in a state of fretfulness. Do not worry. Mandy and I have run Freedom in Christ course a few times in the church and many times elsewhere. And there's an appendix in the back that looks at anxiety and points out that actually sometimes we're anxious about things we have no responsibility for and have no control over. Parents who are anxious about their children as they leave home and make their way in life. You have no control. All you can do is exactly what it says here. You can commit your child to God, to your Father in heaven, who is able and who loves your child and who will do everything he can through your prayers to protect, to preserve and to prosper your child. It says, in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. If something isn't your responsibility, give it to God, get it out, get over it. If something is your responsibility, commit it to God and get on with it. And in this way, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's counsel is to bring such things before God, share such things with God, and leave such things to God. And that leads to peace as we leave it with him. Now, you might say it's easy for you to say, and to be honest, it is. It's very easy to express this. It's much harder to live it. And if you are somebody who finds it really hard to leave things with God and to trust that God is good enough and big enough to deal with these things, particularly those things that you have no control over anyway, then I want to pray for you now. Father, I thank you that you promise that you will respond to our prayers, that your door is always open to us, that as we come before you, you will hear the requests of our hearts. And those things we're concerned about, you're concerned about. And thank you, Father, that you are well able to take care of those things that we cannot. Father, I pray for any who are listening to this message and for me myself at this time. Anything that we are overly concerned about, we are abidingly anxious about, that we are fretting about, particularly things we cannot do anything about and that aren't our responsibility. Help us to know the truth that, Lord, it's outside of our remit and that it's well within yours. And then to hand this over to you and to leave it on the altar, not to be tempted to come back, but to trust your word, to trust your faithfulness and to allow your Holy Spirit to bring the peace of God upon us. Lord, we want to live in that peace, that we might be people marked by the peace of God and a settledness that, Lord, you are able, for you are God and we are not. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So God is able, he's loving and trustworthy. It's only your choice and my choice that stands between us and his peace. And he says here that he will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He will set them as a sentry to guard our hearts, that we will not be anxious, we will not be burdened, but we will be able to rejoice and be light of heart because we know that God is with us and God is able. But Paul doesn't stop there. And the third part of this passage is really fascinating because he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says it's not enough just to leave it with God and then leave your mind empty. He says, focus your minds as a daily choice on good things that will fill you with light. Jesus elsewhere says that if the eye is full of darkness, then your heart is full of darkness. But if your eye is full of light because you're thinking on these things, you're making a positive choice to focus on what is good and pure, then the whole of your life will be filled with light and you will overflow with that light. Isn't that fantastic? Don't just hand it to God, but actually start to focus on people and things around you and things that fill you with light and joy. This isn't positive thinking. This is transformational thinking from Romans 12:2. This is what transforms your heart and mind into Christ-likeness as we focus on those things that fill us and feed us. Because our attitude determines our performance. It sets our direction. If you take in rubbish, you'll be filled with rubbish and you'll give out rubbish. And that's why it's important to make sure that we don't focus on anything impure or anything that downgrades or degrades us. Fill ourselves with light. And then Paul finally finishes by saying, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So he rounds this off again by coming back to peace. But he also says, if you see anything that is Christ-serving, Christ-following, Christ-honoring in me, imitate it. Because that, alongside this positive focus, if you like, on good things, is going to keep your heart in peace. You won't flip-flop in and out of peace. You will rest in God's peace. And that's a fantastic promise. And I'd like to pray for you and for me that we will know how to be a settled person in the peace of God, that we might know peace in our hearts, peace in our lives, and peace in our church, that the cause of Christ may go from strength to strength. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that Paul makes these wonderful promises to you that he knows come from you because he's put them into practice in his own life. Father, we do reject that anxiety. We do want to take hold of your promises, which are yes and amen in Christ. We do want to focus on those good things that Paul tells us to think about. And we want, Lord God, to follow those who set a godly and Christ-like example, that like them, we may give glory to you through our lives. Father, it starts with what's in our minds and it's worked out in our lives. We pray that you would help us to reject any disagreements, to reject any anxiety, to submit ourselves willingly to you, to continually rejoice and to seek the good, to seek the noble, the lovely, the admirable, the praiseworthy, the excellent. Lord God, that we might overflow in peace and blessing, and that we might live lives that others might choose to follow because they point to Christ. Let your church, Father God, go from strength to strength in these days. In these COVID-19 days, let us come out stronger. Let us come out more eager, more enthusiastic for the cause of Christ, because we know the God who is able to save us and keep us, to protect us and preserve us and those whom we love, as we seek your face in Jesus Christ. Amen.